Extreme Anime Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the Extreme Anime Radio Podcast. It is May 17th, 2023, episode 10 of our current season, if I'm keeping track. And look who's joined us again after about a month. It's Mika Zelda. Hi, Mika. How are you?
Hello. I am doing well. I am so glad that my 2 weeks of work stress is gone.
Is the summer started for you already?
Yes, my semester ended 2 weeks ago at the same time as this work schedule, my crazy 2 days a week schedule came out. My show schedule came out. My semester, I had my final on my second day. Mm-hmm. So I had to miss work that day. My boss was already okay with it. And take my exam for for the end of the semester. So I am free until the fall.
Woohoo! Congratulations to you. And I know, based on your background, what you've been enjoying these last few days.
Yep. I have been playing nonstop Tears of the Kingdom. So that'll probably be what I do after this, is go back to it.
Hello, all. I am here. Caldith, in all capital letters. Caldith had some computer issues, he was saying, in the Discord, I think. But we're really happy you could join us again, Caldith. Thank you so much. For those of you watching, remember that you can download this podcast wherever you listen to us, be it by Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts, insert blank here podcast. Look for us at anchor.fm/anime radio. That'll point you to Spotify for podcasters. Oh, we have a raid. Look at that.
Hello.
And if you're listening to us on the podcast and you're asking yourself, well, what is a raid? This is the reason why you have to watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/extremeanimeradio. And also, the replays of the video podcasts are available on YouTube no sooner than 24 hours after the podcast finishes. If we do it any sooner than that, then Twitch will be you breaking the rules. Help, I've been kidnapped, Hamster Mancer. Well, appreciate the raid, Liz. Thank you so much. So, yes, Mika, the new Zelda game, Tears of the Kingdom. Have you been crying the Tears of the Kingdom?
I have been crying the Tears of the Kingdom. The game is actually much more polished than Breath of the Wild was. Mm-hmm. Both of them are still, gorgeous. But they've improved on the graphics from Breath of the Wild for Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. The world is still very expansive, and they've expanded on the world even more. Mm-hmm. For those who haven't really been keeping up with Legend of Zelda and Tears of the Kingdom's release, we get to go up into the sky. So kind of like Skyward Sword.
I see.
Where you have sky islands. So we have the Sky Islands now, as well as the mainland, but you also get to go underground. Okay. So you have three maps of things to do. So I am trying my hardest to get through main story, but every time I turn around, there's another area I need to explore. So I end up exploring more and not worrying about getting through the main story.
So it's more open world, are you saying?
Yeah, it was open world in Breath of the Wild, but it's even more now.
I see.
Because you have the same map as Breath of the Wild, so it's the same world from Breath of the Wild, but you have two additional areas on the map to go to, above the world and below it.
Okay. All right.
So the open world got more open.
Hamster Master, Breath of the Wild wasn't very fun for me. I just wandered around breaking everything I touched and catching on fire when I tried to cook. That's a thing in the game?
Yeah, you can catch yourself on fire. your weapons break. Except the Master Sword. The Master Sword just runs out of energy.
Okay.
You don't break the Master Sword. In this game, you still can catch yourself on fire. You can still get electrocuted. Your weapons still break. But you can fuse things together. So, like, you can fuse two spears together and make one long spear.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or you can fuse rocks to sticks or clubs and create hammers or axes. So it becomes more useful. You can chop down trees. You can, like, create moving vehicles now with the ancient technology of the Zorai. So there's a lot to do in Tears of the Kingdom, for sure.
And we're reading the news from earlier today. It's been out how many days? 3 days? 4 days?
It came out last Friday, so it's been out almost a week. Yeah, okay. It's been out about 5 days.
All right. And apparently it is now the fastest selling Zelda game of all time out of all the Zelda games.
I'm not going to deny that. That's awesome.
10 million sales.
Woohoo.
So there are projections now that it's going to go up. You know, there'll be more sales and it'll go up to the territory of, say, Animal Crossing, Super Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, in terms of number of sales.
Yeah, those three right now are the top three best-selling Switch games. Animal Crossing, Smash, of course, and Mario Kart. And Mario Kart just got a boost in popularity again because of the DLC that came out. So I would not be surprised if this ends up topping them. Or at least getting close and being up there in the top five with them. But considering that they're already at 10 million copies 5 days in, I don't doubt it.
Now, how do you think, obviously I don't play the Zelda games as I'd like to, but I know you've been a fan of Zelda for like your entire life, I think.
That was my late husband. He was the big fan among the two of us, but my love for Zelda came from him.
I see.
And it just continued. Breath of the Wild was the only Zelda game to ever come out that he did not get to play. So it was announced. He knew it was coming.
Right.
But it came out, I think, when did the Switch release? Because it was a launch title for the Switch. The Switch came out the March after he died.
Okay.
So I got the Switch and I played Breath of the Wild. It took me like 3.5 years to beat Breath of the Wild, but I did. And I can happily say that he would love these games. Like, he would absolutely love them. And Breath of the Wild was actually the first Zelda title that I beat on my own with minimal help from him or a friend of ours that also has been in love with the Zelda franchise since its release.
All right. Now, but compare this title, Tears of the Kingdom, to the others you played. Where does it stand? Does it stand at the top?
It's up there. It is definitely up there. Breath of the Wild, because it was the first game that I played by myself with nobody like looking over my shoulder. That's obviously at the top, and I think, and probably by the time I beat Tears of the Kingdom, it'll be like right up there with them, or I'll lump the two of them together because they're Tears of the Kingdom is the direct sequel. But I also have been I've always enjoyed Ocarina of Time, and I've been enjoying replaying Skyward Sword and trying to see if I can beat the other Zelda games on my own now that I don't have someone behind me all the time, like say, this is what you do, or me just sitting behind him watching me and watching him beat the game for however many times he beat the game, because that was what we would do. We would just sit and I would watch endings of him playing Zelda.
Hamster's asking, is it better than the Wand of Gamelon? I never heard of that one. Is that canon?
I've never heard of that.
And no, we are not watching Jeopardy Masters. We have more important things to do. They're playing Zelda, and we collectively are playing Final Fantasy. So, yes, we did that two nights ago, and I told Mika before we started that, have been inching to continue with the game. I don't remember if there was an easy mode the last time I played this many years ago, but the easy mode's there, and it does kind of help move things along, considering that we only have a certain amount of time available to stream. Like, for example, this is Wednesday, and this is the third day out of three that we're streaming here on XAR this week. The next streams won't happen until next week at the earliest, because my work schedule the rest of the week is... I'll just put it that way. But it was wonderful to revisit our youth, so to speak, when we just... talking about that a moment ago with Mika, but revisiting our youth with playing this game. And I think we're up to the part now where we get to learn about the different type of character modes, or I want to call it paradigm modes, I think it's called.
Paradigms, yeah. Yeah. We're just about there. Like, we watched like the big flashback scene. Of Snow and Sarah when they got engaged.
Right.
And we haven't continued since. Mm-hmm. But I think as soon as we get control of the characters again, that's right. When the tutorial mode's going to go through the paradigms.
Right.
And go over what each character's stronger role is. So, right. Like, some of them are better as healers. Some of them are better as long range. Some of them are better as short range.
Right.
So it goes through that and gives recommendations based off of that, and we can create our own paradigms, so to speak.
And every time, if you have a party of three and each one takes on a different role, every combination has a name.
Yep.
So I looked this up. I did look up the paradigms before. So there are six roles. We have Commando. We have Ravager, Sentinel, Saboteur, Synergist, and Medic. Apparently in the Japanese version, they have six completely different names. Attacker, Blaster, Defender, Jammer, Enhancer, and Healer. Anything with an "er" at the end.
That sounds like more like I like that better, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
Just because it makes sense what they're called. Like Medic is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
But Ravager just makes me think of a thief. Like, if I'm thinking like if I'm thinking Final Fantasy X, I'm thinking Riku.
Right.
Type of job. She's the thief of Final Fantasy X.
Right.
So Ravager makes me think thief. Not what I can't remember what exactly it does in this, but
no, yeah, I think what the commando role is more of an attack role.
Yeah.
The Ravager builds up the stagger chain.
Yeah, and I think that's more your long range.
Right.
So like somebody like Saz would excel in being the Ravager for the team.
And then we have different other roles. There's one that will try to debuff the enemy. There'll be one to try to buff up your team. And then, of course, the healer or the medic. Although I think, thinking about that, I think healer's a better name.
Mm-hmm.
The medic would be wearing, the medic hat on, you know?
Yeah, you know what medics do. You know they heal. So that one kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the others don't make as much sense.
Right.
Commando and Ravager both sound like attackers, even though I still think Ravager kind of reminds me of a thief.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And then there are apparently some other roles for Lightning that I'm not supposed to know about because I haven't played Final Fantasy 13-2.
Yeah. And I haven't played those either. So, I remember playing Final Fantasy 13-2 and I just got bored because it wasn't exactly the same.
Right.
So, and then I never played Lightning Returns, which is the third game in the 13 franchise, basically.
Right, that's kind of wraps up the trilogy with that one.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Right. Okay.
But it wasn't well received. Mm-hmm. So, but it's all three of them are on Steam. So.
Yep.
and I've got 13-2 and Lightning Returns sitting on my wish list, so they will be bought eventually.
And may I remind you that if you buy those, remember what I said at the start of the stream two nights ago. Apparently, there were issues porting the games, at least 13 and 13-2, to the PC. So there are unofficial mods that you can download. I downloaded one from GitHub, which apparently will make the game run a lot more smoother. Because if you start up the game and... you don't have a controller plugged in, it's going to pause. The video is going to pause every so often because apparently the game is looking for a controller. There's a certain term that they used, like a latching or something like that. So because it couldn't find the controller, it would pause, routinely. So you have to download this unofficial patch from GitHub to clear that. And then there's a second patch you can download, which will increase the amount of video RAM that the game uses. Because apparently it's originally 2 gigs, and you can do a patch to double it to 4 gigs of video RAM.
Yeah, I might have to get that specific patch from you just because I have a controller, so I have an extra PS5 controller that I just connect to my computer and Steam recognizes it.
Right, right.
So I'm able to play with a controller.
Right.
I'll have to try to notice if I see any issues with the graphics when I have this controller in.
Right.
But definitely thinking about the boost in video RAM is I might want to do that.
But I'm still getting used to playing with the keyboard. It's not too bad, actually, because you have your directional controls, you have your camera view controls, and then you have the mouse. Now I'm wondering, I can change. This is a Corsair gaming mouse that I have. I only keep it on one setting for the most part. You can control the speed of the mouse, how fast it moves. So I'm wondering if lowering the speed will make it so if I move the mouse to change the viewing angle, it's not so jarring.
Yeah, and there might also be a setting within within Final Fantasy 13 that you can adjust the sensitivity of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, when you're moving your mouse around, it won't be as jarring. The camera angles were never very good in 13.
Right.
I can see where they were trying to enhance it and improve on it for the Steam port, but they're the only ones that have a port at all. Like they never ported it to PS5, and it's not up on PlayStation Plus.
Right.
So it's Steam's the only way we can play this specific Final Fantasy right now.
Right, right.
So I don't know if it's trying to make those adjustments, but they overcorrected themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to look at these settings and figure out, what's the optimal setting for my comfort level?
Right. The one thing we can agree on, though, is that the music is awesome.
Oh yes.
We've had in the later years of the station, we had some of the Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2 music playing as such tracks you could request. And now here I am. Every time I'm on this computer doing some work, I'll just loop the track that's called the Vestige when they're in the Falci in the last segment we played the other day.
Yeah, that all of that music is like good chill music. If you're trying to get some work done and you just need something on in the background,
right.
It got me through a lot of like study sessions to where I was very bored trying to read a chapter to try to get ready for an exam. I would just pop the Final Fantasy 13 music in and just kind of relax to it.
Yeah. I mean, there are some relaxing tracks, but then you also have like the Paradigm Shift music, and you know that will the
yeah the battle music,
high octane music. Yep. So we'll be continuing that here. If you're watching us live, we'll be continuing that in about a half an hour or so after we finish. I also like how we're kind of coordinating tonight.
Just a little bit.
I actually, I was less coordinated than you were, Mika, because I had the Sailor Scouts t-shirt.
Yeah, you had the 5 of them.
And then I was like, 10 of them. There's 10. Hold on a second.
There's 10 on them? See, I could only see the 5. I could only see Moon, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. I couldn't see Chibi Moon. And Chibi Moon sat. Oh,
just
yeah. See, I couldn't see the bottom row. Yeah, I couldn't see the bottom row. So
not keying out very well, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the gist,
so,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't see the other 5.
And this is the reason, folks, why I need an actual green screen. I was wearing stripes earlier. Thank you for reminding me, Bree. One of the things that I have here tonight is some taste tests. Actually, no, I don't. Where are they? Oh, no, I brought them here. They're under the shirts. So, yes, I did a little grocery run the other day. I went to a local H Mart. You've heard of H Mart, right?
Oh, yes.
Korean grocery store, I'm sorry. Well, some of them do have some restaurants too. And yes, this is one that opened in my neighborhood a few months ago in place of another supermarket that had been there for many years and then just closed up shop. I think must have been a COVID casualty. And H Mart, oh my goodness, a lot of Korean items. And of course, some other Asian items as well, including Chinese and Japanese. And I have a few snacks here that I'm going to try out in just a little bit. But tonight, I before we came on the air, along with my dinner, I had the cup of noodles curry.
That sounds like super interesting.
Super interesting, and yes, these are the more expensive cup of noodles, like the super sized ones. I'm thinking maybe these are the ones that they actually sell in Japan, even though they have English printing on them, so they must have made them here or imported through here or somewhere. But it has the nutritional information packaged on the cup, including, you know, 65% of your daily allowance of sodium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I tell you right now, I can still feel it a little bit down my throat. It is curry after all, folks.
Yeah.
But it wasn't too bad. I mean, it's a little liquidy, as supposed to be, because you're eating ramen noodles and sort of drinking it too. Have you had any anything like that, Mika?
No, I haven't. It sounds kind of odd. Like, I've had curry, and then I've had ramen. But I don't know how I feel about them together, is the thing. It's like, it's two different textures here. And I'm all about textures when it comes to food.
Right.
It's like, you want it to be like the slippery texture with the noodles, but then at least from the curry that I've had, I can taste like I can taste a little bit of spice even if I get a mild curry. And the chunkiness of the potatoes and the meat and all of that. I pair it more often than not with rice over noodles for that reason.
There you go.
But then you put that texture with a ramen noodles texture, and it sounds like really weird texturally to me.
Yeah. If you try it one day, apparently Bree says you can get it at Walmart.
I'll have to look next time I'm there.
I would suggest for this one, if you're going to try it, eat slowly. I think if you eat too fast, the curry is going to overwhelm you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always really, really slow when I eat curry just because I don't know, like, how it's going to react to me.
Right, right.
To my body. Especially because I can't intake a whole lot of spice until I start feeling sick. So I always try to pace myself with something spicy. Like, even if I go to Buffalo Wild Wings and get, like, the mildest wing sauce that I can tolerate, which is the garlic parm, I still have to take my time. It's still in the green as far as spice level. I can barely tolerate it.
Yeah, I used to tolerate spicier foods when I was a lot younger. And now it's like, oh, they discovered a few years ago when they put a little scope into my stomach. Oh, you have some eroded lining in your stomach. Oh, well, in that case, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll probably go up to like medium on the ladder of high and low. And that's as far as I'll go. Were you around here, Mika, when we did the podcast with Lizzie last week? We talked about another set of cup of noodles.
No, I had to work.
Oh man.
Yeah, I was stuck at work running the show, so I could not tune in at all.
This was the quote unquote, which apparently you can also get at Walmart because we looked this up before. Breakfast flavored cup of noodles.
Breakfast noodles.
Yes. Breakfast flavored. Not just breakfast noodles. Breakfast flavors.
Breakfast flavored noodles. That sounds interesting and weird at the same time.
Yes. Cup of noodles breakfast. Artificially flavored as maple syrup pancakes, sausage, and eggs.
All together?
Yes. Artificially flavored.
Yeah, like, I don't know how to feel about that. I'd somewhat understand if it was like a maple syrup pancake as one type and then another type is sausage and egg. But combined?
Yeah.
No, I no. No.
What's funny is that if I go to the Walmart listing here, it doesn't give you the nutritional facts. I'd be interested to see what they have. apparently, you can only pick it up at selected Walmarts.
At select Walmarts. Ooh, okay.
So, and I've even been told when I present this option, no, this is not something I want to try, is what people are telling me. But no, it's a very very interesting one, and we brought that up because when we talk about Japanese food, usually a lot of the food we talk about is food you can only get in Japan, you can't get here, whereas the breakfast cup of noodles you can get here but you cannot get in Japan, and maybe for good reason by the time we're talking about it. Right. But so we are we're plugging along here with the podcast, and Mika is joining me again. As everybody knows, Neff is continuing his shoulder recovery. He did give me an update today, Lizzie and I, that they're still working on some mobility issues with his shoulder. So it's He's taking his time with that, and we'll see where that stands as far as his overall recovery goes. But we continue to wish Neff the very best as he continues on this road.
Yep.
So, if you're watching or listening, Neff, once again, we salute you and wish you the very best. A con that he's been involved with for so many years, Anime North, is going to be happening in about a week's time. I'm not sure if he's going to make it. Probably not, but I know that and the Anime North charity auction to benefit sick kids, Toronto Hospital for Sick Children, something close and dear to his heart. If any of you guys watching or listening or plan to go to Anime North, be sure to check out the charity auction over there and make sure you support a good cause. I've been looking at some of the news in Japan. Big news coming out of Japan with the G7 summit now. So the city of Hiroshima is being locked down for all these foreign dignitaries coming in. We're also checking out the sumo news. Have you heard of any interesting news from Japan lately, Mika?
It kind of has to do with both Japan and the U.S.
Okay.
Three of the Love Live voice actresses will be coming to Anime Expo.
Oh!
They're not from the same group, though. Like, it's one from one group, one from another, and one from the third of the three main groups right now.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm going to go... I gotta find the right. I have to find my Twitter, my tweet again. There we go. It is Kobayashi Aika, who is the voice of Yohane in Aqua. Sagara Mayu, who is the voice of Kasumi, and Date Sayuri, who is the voice of Kanon. The three of them are going to be at Anime Expo doing a panel on the series called Nice to Meet You in L.A. is what their tour is called. So it's just the three of them. I was kind of hoping like one of the groups would come because that would probably be a bigger sell for me to go cross country. For
you're about to say, is that in the cards for you?
No,
oh.
It's not. I honestly wish it was. Like I talked to my husband about it, and I found this out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed my husband the tweet, and he looks at me and says, "No." I'm like, "Okay."
Oh no.
As much of a Love Life fan as I am, and this is the closest I probably will ever get to seeing them, because luck will have it that when we do finally travel to Japan, it won't be around a Love Live concert. So I can't get tickets to a Love Live concert to go see them.
You think Love Live's gonna, you know, fade in popularity by then?
No. As far as right now, they're pretty popular. They've got three main groups.
Right.
They also have a VTuber type group of six. The third group, Liella, which is the one that Kanon is part of, they're growing again. So they'll have 11 in their group, and they're about to have a third season. There's a fantasy spinoff of Love Live Sunshine coming out, where it's all of the girls of Aqua in fantasy type roles. So like Ruby is a fairy, Yoshiko or Yohane is a witch, and that's who the series is centered around. Nijigasaki actually had to do a recast for one of their actresses because the actress for Setsuna was diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and could not perform anymore any of the physical demanding stuff at their lives, so she couldn't dance anymore. So they recast her, and right now they're doing a tour with with the new actress, and they're going to come out with an OVA.
Okay.
And there's a lot of controversy that I've been reading about their new mobile game, how it's unfinished and not polished.
Mm.
So there's just a lot of Love Live news that I can't, like there's not enough time
right.
for me to go through all of it.
Oh man, but no, that's gotta be big news. I wish you could have gone.
Yeah, I'm hoping one in my lifetime, like, I don't see the popularity of Love Live waning.
Okay.
But there are probably going to be new groups mm-hmm. that come along by the time I'm able to go.
Okay.
So I'll be able to see these new groups. And that's not to say that these three groups are not going to still be performing by the time I go. They mm-hmm. might be.
Right.
Their animes may be finished up. Love Live Sunshine's been done for like 5 or 6 years now. But they are still the most popular of the three, so they still perform.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do have like all of their solo careers,
right?
But they still will get together like once or like twice or three times a year to have a series of concerts, mm-hmm. collect and have a tour collectively as Aqua.
Okay, so So that's how they normally do it. They don't have like regular performances like say AKB48 does.
Yeah, they just have periodic concerts. Like Aqua just finished up with the Valentine's Day White Day bonus live. So around Valentine's Day they had one themed to Valentine's Day, and they were accepting things from their fans,
mm-hmm.
Quote unquote. And then when White Day came around, March 14th, they had another weekend where they mm-hmm. had concerts, and they gave everybody some cookies.
Mm.
Everybody that attended, and that ended up actually being the first concert. The first bunch of concerts that you could actually shout at again.
Right.
Because they were starting to slowly lift COVID restrictions with the concerts.
Right.
And now all of the restrictions are lifted, so
yep.
they can go to concerts without a mask now and right. shout to their heart's content.
More like what I'm seeing in the sumo matches that are happening right now. A lot more people are yelling. Some people are still wearing masks. I think in Japan the norm is going to be maybe a little longer before, you know, we see most masks go away. Except for, you know, in Japan they've always worn them whenever they, you know, they're personally ill or whatnot. But
yeah, they've always been really good about it. Mm-hmm. So like
yeah.
That's why I'm like, I'm totally okay with like adopting that
yeah.
in my everyday life now. Now that even our government is getting ready to deem the COVID emergency over. I'm still probably gonna wear my mask in the winter,
right?
Just because it keeps the germs out, and I'm not gonna get sick,
right?
Because I haven't been. I've gotten like little colds, but I haven't had like a horrible sickness since then. Since
okay.
all of this started, so I like wearing masks when I'm sick or like when allergy season is just too brutal.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting bit of news in Japan that I actually read on Sora News about somebody in Kobe who was going to a driving school for a driving license for a truck. Apparently, didn't pass or something like that, so he sent 15 threatening letters to his driving school, and in one case sent 1,500 origami cranes to his former driving school.
Oh my goodness, like what are you trying to do here, guy?
Yeah.
like you're sending like conflicting messages. First
yeah.
you send 15 letters that I'm gonna undoubtedly say are disgruntled at best.
Yes.
But then you also send 1,500 paper cranes?
Yes.
like you are giving conflicting vibes here, dude.
Yeah. So apparently this person who was arrested told police he had gotten angry at the driving school's poor teaching style. And when he was asked about the cranes, he said that folding the cranes helped to calm him down. And besides the threatening notes, there was nothing threatening about the paper cranes. They were just paper cranes.
Yeah, like that's what gives me the impression like he's like conflicted in what he wants to convey here. Like, right. is he really trying to complain the company into the ground, or is he trying, is he complaining and then trying to apologize for said complaining with the cranes?
Well, you need to have it one way or the other, right?
Exactly. It's either you complain about the teaching style, mm-hmm. or you give them paper cranes to thank them for teaching me, even though I didn't pass.
You were also talking about smartphone games before with Love Life, mm-hmm. and I saw some interesting news. In fact, Junji posted it today about our favorite game and one of my favorite animes that I wish they could have ported to English. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yep. It's Uma Musume.
Nay. I mean, yay. Correct. Yes. So, yes, the mobile game, I think, has been around over 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And in that time, apparently, it has earned $2 billion U.S. dollars over that amount, with 95% of the revenue coming from Japan. And apparently 0% coming from the United States, unless you cheat and use BlueStacks or something like that. Well, we tried it once when it came out. I started using it and then kind of fell off at the lack of ability to understand what was being said in the game. But I'm always waiting for the day when they can port that into English. I don't know if this is going to be a part of that, but apparently the makers of that app, Cygames, are now facing a lawsuit from Konami, of all people, for alleged patent infringement. This is something I read in Anime News Network. They're seeking $29 million in damages, which is like a small fraction of the $4 billion that Cygames made on the app.
Yeah.
So apparently they had a discussion about patent rights for the game system, and they couldn't agree, so that led Konami to file the lawsuit. And they're asking to halt the production and usage of that app. So if they get their way, we may not see that app anymore.
Yeah, and that would be a sad day for people who do enjoy it, because there was no reason, there's no pending lawsuit, right. But I know Love Live, Love Live All-Stars is closing on June 30th, and everybody in that community, because it's got a global, that one's got a global version,
yeah.
Are really, really upset, because that game could have gone on so much longer, and with School Idol Project, School Idol Festival 2 being like poorly reviewed because of completion, and because of like the cleanness of the game itself, the polishing. Everybody's like, why are you ending a good thing when you haven't even fixed the one thing that you're trying to push? Because that game combines all four groups, including Muse, who has long since not been performing as a group anymore. And there's no there's no date for a global version of that game yet.
Right.
So they're like, what's the hold up? One, on the global version. Two, getting this game finished, basically.
Yeah.
And yet you're completing the game that you're going to close the game that we've been wanting to keep going because we can't play your other game because it's not done. or in the case of us global players, it's not available to us.
Right.
unless you cheat and go on to the Japanese iTunes store, Google Play store, and get it. Or you get the APK for Android users because...
The BlueStacks, yeah.
They have it easier than iPhone users.
Yeah.
So it's like... darned if we do, darned if we don't kind of situation with Love Live. Right. But seeing as Uma Musume could be on the chopping block just over this lawsuit, with it making that much money, and 95% of players are Japanese based, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Like if this goes through and Konami wins, it's gonna hurt.
Right. Although there is another thing that the article doesn't mention, and that's maybe a settlement, because it's a 29 million versus 2 billion is kind of like a paltry sum.
That's true. Yeah, there could very well be a settlement come over, like they pay part of those damages and then compromise on the game operation or something.
Right.
Or you never know. They may settle and still tell them they still settle to shut the game down. So it's just a matter of just letting the legal process play out and figure out, are they going to settle or are they going to fully take this to court?
Right. But no, talking what you said about end of life, it seems like you know, some of the games that we enjoy playing online and they have the momentum, all of a sudden you get the rug yanked out from underneath you.
Yep, they did that with a Sailor Moon game a few years ago, too, and I was very, very mad.
I know there was a Sailor Moon game a few years back, right? Yeah.
Yeah, a smartphone game. It was called Sailor Moon Drops, and it was a matching game.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved that game. Like I have a flight attendant friend who that would be all she played, in flight because she could play it offline. Uh-huh. And when they shut it down, we all got really, really upset because the game was so popular. Yes. It just basically took you through it took you through all five arcs of Sailor Moon, but then you also had special events to get special characters. You could get Kaku at one point. You could get different variants of Sailor Moon. You could get different villains to play with. So it was very robust. But then when they shut it down, we were all really, really upset about it. And at the time when they shut it down, I still had an Android, so I was able. There's a developer that was able to like re-release the game, but he couldn't release it through official channels. So we had a bootleg version of the game.
Arr.
It was fun, but it wasn't for it. He couldn't get around getting it onto the App Store for iOS.
Uh huh.
So when I switched over to my iPhone, I lost the ability to play that game, and it still sits on my iPad, even though I can't play it.
Yeah,
the icon is still on my iPad. So that's the way that the Love Live games that have shut down are gonna go, and it just becomes like a reminiscing memory.
Yeah. Now, we have some wonderful content planned with our mascot, Sarah and Umemi. What was the, because I can't remember it as we're talking now, what was the character that Umemi cosplayed in the art? The Love Life.
That was Hazuki Ren. She is one of the founding members of Liella.
Okay.
The way that Love Live Superstar is structured is the first season followed the first five as they reopened the school.
Right.
Because the Love Live formula is they form this group because they're trying to save their school.
Right.
Muse was successful in saving their school. Aqua was not successful. Nijika Saki is just there. They were never in danger of closing, right. But their gimmick was the club was not supposed the club was shut down itself because they had conflicting ideas and didn't compromise. But then they reopened and compromised on performing as soloists. And then Liella, the school is reopening. So you start with just a single class of first years. And then as the years go on, you add the second years. And then and that was all season two. And four new members came in to get our normal nine formula. And now we're about to go into season three, which will add another year of first years, making our first years that began third years. And... bringing that group's total to 11.
Right.
And Ren is the student council president. She is she's in the music track of that school. Like, they have a general curriculum, and then they have different arts tracks. Right. So they have dance classes. Right. And then they have dance classes, music classes. She's in the music track. And... she loves ballet. In their first MV, you see her doing it, doing ballet.
Right.
So when you had released the image of you, Mammy, cosplaying as Lightning, I'm like, she could be the cosplayer out of the two of them.
Oh, yeah.
thinking about Bolsera and Umemi. Right. Like, she could be the cosplayer. And Ren actually does ballet. So how about we get her in one of her outfits? And I had to go and pick, like, the prettiest outfit in Starlight Prologue.
That was fun to put together with Agnes, because Agnes was responsible for both of those pieces of art. And now she is working on a project involving Sarah, and she's kind of pouting. Well, you'll see when the art comes out.
I can't wait to see the art. I cannot wait for it.
I showed them the sketch. And you see the sketch. it's a simpler setting and story compared to Umemi cosplaying these different characters. But I think we'll bring Umemi back into cosplay, you know, and cosplay as well. We're hopeful to have a few more projects coming up in the summer months as far as cosplay is concerned.
Yeah, it'll be much warmer. I know on my end, I've got two people that would be willing to cosplay Sarah right beside me.
Yeah.
As you, Mammy. Or I have one person, and I have my photographer that did my Umemi, my Christmas Umemi shoot.
Right.
I am never going to do a shoot in the winter ever again in that dress. It was so cold that day.
And like, if you want to,
we did it a few days before Christmas, and it was freezing cold.
Yeah, if you want to see what they're talking about, go to our Instagram. Extreme Anime Radio, or is it Anime Radio? It's one of the two. But it was posted today. It's also on Twitter. You can check it out on Twitter as well. You see which one we're talking about here. But was it that bad for you?
It was pretty cold. Like,
okay.
Like, we had a really unseasonably cold December last year.
Yeah.
And yet we never got snow. Like you would think, as cold as it was, we would have had snow at some point. We had flurries. Nothing stuck. So I was like, we had to do the shoot in two segments. So, like, we did some during the day, and then we did some at night, because where we were doing the photos, they had a Christmas display up. My photographer, she had already been through that area with her brothers.
Right.
At night. And she said, after you told me about you, Mammy, I feel like for your Christmas shoot, getting some shots with these lights would be beautiful. And They are turning out really, really well. She's kind of backed up a little bit on editing, but from the previews I've seen, they are gorgeous. I can't wait to release them this Christmas.
Right. I don't think I've seen them just yet, but I'll take your word for them.
I've just seen them on her camera.
Okay.
She hasn't sent me any proofs just yet, but she's had some page shoots that have come ahead. And, she's working with me as on a trading basis. Like, I give her my time, and she gets to use my photos for her portfolio. Cool. So, she's really sweet in being able to do that, because she's still like budding. She's only been doing this like a year professionally.
Right.
So, I can't wait to work with her a little bit more and get some more Umemi and Sarah images out from off my end.
Cool. Yeah, definitely looking forward to those and looking forward to working with a lot of people. We have some more ideas that we'll be sharing and hopefully bringing to you in the weeks and months ahead. But Mika...
I'm wearing my hair kind of like Umemi today.
Oh, yeah, right?
I swear that wasn't planned.
No, my apologies.
I just wanted to put my hair up all cute. And then I'm like, wait a minute, my hair is like Umemi today.
How about that? You even got me. So it's time for us to do some Final Fantasy. Yeah, but we're going to wrap things up here on the podcast now with the usual closing commentary. Did you do this before? You want to give it another shot?
I did do this before.
All right, go ahead.
If you've got questions, concerns, compliments, complaints, shoot us an email at extremeanimeradio@gmail.com. To find our social links, you can go to linktree.com/animeradio. That'll take you to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, this Twitch account, our Instagram, our YouTube, as well as the archived podcasts on anchor.fm/animeradio powered by Spotify.
That's all it right there. I think we're all good. So, Mika, we do appreciate you joining us here again tonight, and you'll be joining us again here in a few minutes as we do Final Fantasy. We're looking forward to it, and thanks again for stopping by.
Absolutely. Always glad to do it.
And for your podcast listeners, we will see you next time we do a podcast. It hasn't been determined yet, but we will be figuring out a schedule. If you're watching us on Twitch, the Final Fantasy stream will be coming up, and then we will hopefully continue with a Twitch stream sometime next week. But in the meantime, this concludes episode 10. So for Mika, I'm JR. Thank you for watching and listening, and remember,
keep on listening and watching the Extreme Anime Radio podcast on YouTube, Twitch, and then listening on anchor.fm/animeradio powered by Spotify.
You got it.
Yay!
Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.